I'm John.
And I'm Sherry.
We like home stuff.
We like talking.
And we like the occasional game show sound effect. So welcome to Young House Love Has a Podcast, where we have deep and not so deep conversations about DIY, design, and life at home.
Today you'll hear what's new with us, what rich people have in their houses, and how our relationship with toilet paper has changed for the better.
Here goes, Sherry. You ready?
Well, yeah. Born ready. Born ready to podcast.
No one was born ready to podcast. But hey, we thought we'd start each episode with a little section called What's New, where we can tell you what's new with us. Maybe something we bought, something we're loving, something we're doing, or organizational system we've recently figured out, like what Sherry wanted to talk about today.
Guys, this has kind of changed my life. In the last few months, I have been sort of experimenting with this method, and I was not going to share if it was a flop, but it was not a flop. So hold on to your hats. Paper organization. My daughter gets off the school bus, and she has our daughter.
And Thank you both for including me.
She has so much paper stuff, just drawings she's done, worksheets she's filled out, cute little books she's written on the little dotted lines. And I, for a very long time, battled with what to do with that stuff. I tried to every day go through it and file it in some smart way, but inevitably I did not have time every day to make thoughtful, smart choices. So it gathered on the counter and it ended up in places it shouldn't be and it got crinkled and it got lost. And so I decided to use this gold metal bin that I actually got while thrifting with Katie Bauer in Georgia. So it's you don't need a gold bin from Georgia, but it certainly helps. And I put it on the counter or on top of a printer desk in the office. So imagine that, putting papers in the office instead of in the kitchen.
So novel.
I know. So now everything that comes out of the backpack that's like a drawing or a worksheet goes into the inbox, my paper inbox, I'm calling it. And then it fills up and fills up and fills up. And in about 2 weeks, it gets towards the top of the bin. And then I decide it's time for me to go through it. And instead of every day having to sort of turn my brain on and make these big decisions about what to do with things, I leave it completely autopilot. And I throw things in the bin for weeks and weeks. And then in one day, I go through it. And I sort of make a pile of things I want to file and save, a pile of things I want to put on the bulletin board, some things I don't think she needs anymore, some things I give back to her to draw all over again. So it just is a way to put off responsibility and deal with things in one fell swoop instead of trying in vain every day to keep up with it.
Well, I think it helps too because she brings home so much artwork that when you look at it individually, you're like, oh, I should save this piece of artwork. Like everything is worth saving. But then when you see you have like 25 of the same thing, it's easier to say like, I'm going to pick this one and this one.
Right. And usually I like to give it back to her to color all over or fold up and do origami, or she'll do like something on top of something. So I'm rarely sneaking things into the trash, but I am sort of choosing what I think I want to save forever and what things she can sort of have fun with again and put glitter pom-poms on.
So the takeaway from this is go to Georgia, find a wired gold thing.
Right, exactly. It must include a trip with your friend to go thrifting or any basket from Target. Either one works.
Well, what's new with me is something that's a long time coming. We got a new lawnmower. I know this is not riveting, but it was an interesting choice.
Oh my gosh, you guys. You would think John was buying a new car with the amount of research that went into the lawnmower.
Well, because you convinced me that we should consider a cordless electric lawnmower instead of the usual gas-powered mower that we currently have.
This is the way I shop for things. Especially things I'm not that interested in. I go on Amazon, I just look for things with good reviews. And the interesting thing was a lot of things on Amazon with lots of five-star reviews were electric. So my sort of donation to this whole thing of information was, hey, I went on Amazon, a lot of them are cordless. Look into that.
The donation, the tailspin you sent
right,
me.
Right, right. So, and then I passed the baton to you.
Well, but then what we learned was the reason why an electric one was worth considering is because they're lighter. They're quieter. They don't, you know, spew exhaust because they're not gas powered. And for me, someone who is not really adept at motors and all things car, things like that, oil changes, and it was attractive to me that this would run on rechargeable batteries. I narrowed it down to two options that I found, one from Lowe's by Cobalt and one from Home Depot by a company called Ego. And I was leaning towards the Ego one, even though the reviews were slightly less favorable to that one because it was cheaper and it had this cool feature that like the handle folded down. So it became really compact. They even showed in the video that you could hang it on your wall. And I was like, now that this is electric, I can store it in the
John
garage.
John was like, art.
Yeah. Lawnmower art in the garage. But, you know, it takes up a big footprint, so I like the idea of it being compact. So I drove to Home Depot, and I had this, like, last-minute pause that I was like, I should go look at the one at Lowe's. I owe it to myself.
And he's texting me, I'm going to go to Lowe's and just look at it. And I'm like, John, it's been a week since we mowed the lawn because our old lawnmower died and we waited way too long to replace it. And I was like, just please, I'm begging you. You've done research for weeks. Buy the mower. Just buy the mower.
Well, but it was a good thing I went to Lowe's because that one was on sale. So it was cheaper. And I discovered it also can fold up to be compact. And so since Secret it was feature. Better reviewed, I got that one. So right. What we ended up with was the Kobalt 40 volt 20-inch deck, so it's 20 inches wide. It's the same width as the Home Depot one. And the cool thing about it is it has two batteries in it. You know, there's rechargeable lithium-ion batteries. Mm-hmm. And so if one starts to run low, it automatically switches to the other one.
Ooh, backup battery.
It also, like, when your grass isn't too thick, it runs on one quiet setting. And if it gets really, like, dense, like, jungly, you can hear it ramp up to go through. So it, like,
second gear.
It manages its power well. So it's done great for us. I love how light it is and how quiet it is. Sherry and I could almost, like, have a conversation.
Right. I can shout, John, John, and get his attention. And I used to have to like walk into the yard and jump in front of him to get his attention.
Now I just have to like fake ignore you. Like,
right. What? Well, you always have your headphones on, so you can still pretend you can't hear me.
And I've only had an issue with it running out of battery once in our whole yard. And that's because it was like super thick from weeks of rain. And so it was on that dense jungle mode the whole time.
And it was like, he literally had one strip in the front left. And he came inside and was like, I ran out of battery, but it'll be fine. I'll do
it. I think more times I've run out of gas and left a bigger strip. So
that's true. It was just so ironic. It was like literally he had one more lap to do and it died. But then, you know, he charged it and 2 hours later it was fixed. And it was kind of funny because it looked like we had intentionally for a few hours decided to leave a little like mohawk in the front of our yard.
So all in all, I think I'm an electric mower convert.
Oh, and wait, that sounded a little bit like it was sponsored. Tell me more about that.
Oh, no, it wasn't. This podcast doesn't have any sponsors yet, does it?
So this is just our note that we will probably mention lots of things by name in many segments about what's going on, home stuff. A lot of times it's helpful when you give details like that. If we have a sponsor, like every other podcast, it will be clearly marked. So if we mention something by name, it's just because we love it and want to share it with you.
If that's what's new, let's go to our next segment, which I am really excited about because Sherry doesn't know about it.
This is the game show portion
of the
podcast.
Yeah, this is the game show portion of our podcast. It's called What's Not?
What's Not?
What's Not?
Okay.
Yeah, cue music. So what I have is I'm going to give you a list of things in a certain category.
Okay.
All of them are real except for one.
Oh, gosh.
And you have to tell me what's not real.
Okay.
Okay?
But I'm just going to guess. But I'm going to make educated
You better
guesses.
Make an educated guess.
Okay.
So the first one is about paint colors.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a list of paint colors you might use to make a sandwich.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I like this.
And you have to tell me which one is
not real. Are they
going
to be delicious, John?
Well, you tell me. So these, I'm going to give you five of them.
Okay.
Okay, one is not real.
Okay.
Here we go. Mayonnaise.
Okay, I think that's true because I've heard it.
Spicy mustard.
Oh, I would name something that.
Swiss cheese.
I think that's the fake one.
Dill pickle.
I think that's real.
Rye bread.
Ooh, I think Swiss cheese is fake.
Really?
That's my final answer.
Your final answer? You're correct. What? There is, I will say, that Bear has a paint called cheese powder.
Oh, wow.
Which I kind of like Swiss cheese better.
Well,
but
it stuck out to me as a fake name.
Okay, well, I'll have to do better next time. Another one that almost made the list was Olympic has a paint color called Lettuce Alone, but it's spelled lettuce like...
Oh, that's very
like
cheeky.
Like green lettuce.
I love a cheeky name.
I knew you wouldn't expect me to be that cheeky, so you would know that was real.
Right.
So, yeah, Swiss cheese is not real, but mayonnaise, spicy mustard, and dill pickle are all Benjamin Moore colors. Rye bread is a Bear color.
I figured it out. Yeah. I like it.
Okay.
Well, I like this game because I'm winning.
let's wait.
Very soon I will not be winning.
Okay,
so I'm going to bask.
This is your second category, okay? So you got one. See if you
get... Oh, it's going to be all downhill from here.
There's three. These are real clickbaity headlines or not real clickbaity headlines from the DIY section of BuzzFeed.
Oh, gosh.
Ready?
I'm going to get this wrong.
Okay. Number one, I think I've got four of these. Yeah, four of these. So 23 signs you've been watching too much House Hunters.
Okay. That's
Don't tell me your answer until you're done.
Okay. Okay.
17 urgent questions I have for anthropology.
I like that. I would read that article.
28 products for people who are super excited about pineapples.
I believe that as well.
And 14 reasons why your bedroom is making me sad.
Oh my gosh, they all sound real. The one I click the least is Reasons Why Your Bedroom Is Making Me Sad. But I feel like you threw one in there, so I think you made up the pineapple one. But the real answer is I think Your Bedroom Is Making Me Sad is the one I would click the least.
But you think that's the fake one?
No, I think the pineapple one's fake because I know you.
You don't know me because the bedroom one is the one that...
Oh, come on. I was so close.
14 Reasons Why Your Bedroom Is Making Me Sad is not real. And if you were wondering, here's some of the signs that you've been watching too much House Hunters.
Let me guess. You walk into a room and talk about entertaining.
Yeah. They said you go on and on about needing, this is in quotes, space to entertain.
You can't see past a paint color and buy a house.
There were 23 of these and I only pulled out three. And so far you've got 200.
Wait, let me try to guess the third
one. Well, hold on. But there says you're suddenly incapable of imagining a room that's painted a different color. I don't think you'll get the last one.
Let me think what's another thing that you, I don't know.
This says you're overwhelmed by the urge to update everything in sight.
Oh yeah. I wouldn't have done that.
Okay, so you were close on that one, but I'm calling it a fail.
Come on.
Let's see if you can get number three, okay?
Okay.
So, Elle Decor, they put an article on their website called 12 Things You Never Knew About Nate Berkus.
Oh, gosh.
I've pulled out six.
Okay.
I'm sorry, five.
Okay.
One of them is fake.
I know some things about him. Let's do this. I read his book.
Okay. Then, and just, I pulled out the obvious ones, like one of them is like, he will only keep things he truly loves. So, okay, number one, he was born just outside of Chicago.
Okay.
Number two, he started his first design firm when he was just 24 years old.
Okay. That might have been 23. Can you do that? Would you shift one detail or is the whole thing?
No, I wouldn't do that to you. Okay. Did I give that away? One of his first jobs was for a jeweler in Paris.
Okay.
Among his quirks, he always peels the labels off of his shampoo bottles.
Okay.
And he's extended his television career to include acting on soap operas.
Oh, come on. This is hard.
So this is a recap. Born outside of Chicago.
That's true.
First design for him when he was 24.
That's true because you gave it away.
Yeah. First job was jeweler with a jeweler in Paris.
I think that's true because he wasn't in home first. I don't think. His mom was doing home stuff and he kind of helped her. I don't know.
He takes the labels off of shampoo bottles and he is a soap opera actor.
Can I phone a friend?
Just take a guess.
The shampoo bottles you made up.
I did not make that one.
Wow. That's kind of smart of him, though.
He was not born outside of Chicago.
Oh!
He was born in California.
Oh!
But he went to college in Chicago.
Okay. So, raised in Chicago.
Yes.
Okay.
But I thought that soap opera thing was interesting. He played himself on two episodes of Days of Our Lives.
I knew that was too weird to be the made-up one. Like, truth is stranger than fiction.
Okay. Well, good work. You got one for three.
I need to put
But you were close.
I need to put the pressure on you. I was really close to the bedrooms that make me sad.
Yeah, you
should have followed my gut.
Okay, well, good work.
That was fun.
Good work on what's not. Next thing we wanted to do is we wanted to talk about an article that I came across recently that had me fascinated. It was on the Washington Post, and the headline was, "The Cool Stuff Rich People Have in Their Houses That You Don't."
Oh, that's interesting. I guess some things?
Yeah.
Is this not a game show portion?
You can make everything a game show portion if you want. It was based on a Reddit feed where someone on Reddit back in March had posed, what items or products are only found in quote-unquote rich households?
Interesting. Do you want me to guess?
How would you answer the question?
Like fancy, you know, like those built-in cappuccino machines that are like in, like under the cabinet or within the cabinet? Mm-hmm. I would say heated floors. Or heated driveways. I've heard that's a new thing to melt snow. I would say live in help, obviously. Like having, like Jeff Lewis, having like Zoila around. That's fancy. What else? Ooh, we know a neighbor who hires someone to put their Christmas lights up.
That's true.
Like a service that comes and wraps their trees. Every branch of their trees is beautifully lit.
Do you know what the top answer was?
Something in the kitchen. I feel like it's like, I don't know, marble?
You're right. You're
marble?
On some. Well, the top answer, and mind you, there were almost 20,000 replies on this thing.
Wow.
So lots of people, and you know, on Reddit, people can upvote or downvote things like or agree with. So this is the thing that got the most upvotes.
Okay. It was in the kitchen, you said, right?
It was, as they stated, fridges that look like cabinets or drawers that are really fridges as well.
Oh, so that's a good one. Right, built-in drawer front fridge or door front fridge.
Yeah,
so, interesting.
Yeah, so that was number one. The next thing was a magic toilet with a hidden flusher. And this was just a personal story of someone who was a contractor at a mansion. And he went to use the bathroom and he couldn't figure out how to flush it.
Oh my gosh,
and
that'd be me.
He was like Googling, like, how do you flush this fancy toilet?
You'd hear through the door me saying, flush. You'd hear me clapping. I'm trying to activate it.
And so he discovered the little statue on the top you had to pull up.
Oh, is it attached? And it,
like, I guess so. There wasn't a picture.
Or you lift it up and it's magnetic or something?
I don't know. And you speak it to it. But like you said, someone said radiant floor heating, or they said ground heating so the bathroom floor is never cold.
What about like soaker tubs?
That I did not see. I did not go through all 20,000 results.
Interesting.
And also someone, the fifth response was maid, gardener, or maintenance all living on the property.
Fancy.
But like the really interesting thing about the article was, I think a lot of people interpret it like you did, like sort of what's like the lavish like lifestyles of the rich and famous, you know, because there were ridiculous things like someone said, crystal vases filled with gemstones. Someone said an indoor bowling alley. Someone said a helipad for their helicopter.
Oh, yes. You know? A helipad. Or like a golf course out back.
Yes. Yeah. So.
Or like, what about indoor pool? Ooh.
I think that came up.
I think that came up.
There also were things that were like reminders that everyone's definition of rich is different, you know, because I think.
Oh, that's interesting.
This was, I think, the comment that really like pointed that out. It was someone who is a house cleaner.
Uh-huh.
And so they said things that stand out to them as things that rich people have that others don't. She said bowls of fancy candy. She said a separate room for the toilet in each bathroom. I think she means like a water closet.
Water closet.
She said a fridge stocked full of food.
Aww.
A dining table they never use. And this was my favorite one. She said 16 pillows for each bed, most of which are decorative and have to be moved on and off when you go to sleep. I don't get this. While it was fun to read like all the kind of ridiculous and lavish things that people said, that, because there were a lot of people who were not necessarily the folks who lived there, but they're like, oh, I visited a house or I was a contractor and I worked at a house like this. And so this kind of spectacle of those. But there also was this sort of thing that reminded you that like just being able to have decorative pillows is not something everyone can do. And so that makes you that's a luxury. That's a nice to have for lots of people. So all that being said, Sherry, what would you say to someone who is looking to like create a richer, more luxurious or fancier feeling in their house without actually, you know, spending lots of money?
I think those like what to buy as a nice to have items are totally personal. I think for me, one of my favorites is flowers at the grocery store. My favorites are Alstroemeria. They're like $3.99 for a bouquet and they last for like 3 or 4 weeks, which is
sometimes they're on sale.
I know sometimes they're $2.99, but my favorite thing about them, I get like them in white or light pink. So they seem like sort of like peonies because they're roughly in light, but they're much more durable. They last a lot longer for me. And, I just think that's like such an easy bang for my buck and they make the counter look pretty. And then when they start to die, like 3 or 4 weeks later, I'm always at the grocery more than 3 or 4 weeks apart. So I just try to remember to grab some more. Another thing, I think it sounds silly, but probably a cute little candle. A nice one with like a light scent you like. I like soy ones with like a natural oil scent, so they're not too crazy strong. I don't know. I feel like I light the candle. I sit and watch Housewives. I feel like I'm living the life.
That's what makes you feel fancy, just watching the Housewives.
Yeah. Well, I'm like looking at their helipad. And I'm
maybe that makes you feel really poor.
Right. Well, I'm like,
and then you see your candle. Remember, I'm rich in candles.
Exactly. I think more money, more problems for the Housewives. But look at me living it up with my candle.
Well, I think just what that whole thread showed and sort of what you just said, it's like having a nice to have is the thing that like maybe makes a space or home feel fancier than it is.
It's like a small luxury.
Yeah. And that luxury is different for every person, which is what was kind of being said in this thread.
Absolutely. I think some people would love a million pillows on their bed and some people would loathe it. And same with flowers and same with candles. So I think maybe if you figure out your little splurge, I know someone who loves a pretty leather notebook in her purse to take notes and she whips it out, you know, for like her grocery list or if she thinks about something, she writes a note to herself and she said, I know it's so dumb, but I feel so fancy with my little leather notebook. So I think just figure out sort of your currency of inexpensive splurge and see how it makes you feel.
I was thinking about, when I was reading this article, the landscape lights we put in recently, because that was not, I would say, inexpensive, like $4 flowers, but it was just, what, like $100 or $200? I don't remember the final cost.
Yeah, it was a few hundred. It might have been $200 or $300 for everything.
But for me, like, I never thought I'd be a person who had landscape lights on my house. I never thought I'd be a person who would install them myself and could afford them.
Right. We thought we'd hire someone for about $1,000 because we thought, ooh, electrical wiring, big fancy uplighting. It sounded sort of like more ominous than it ended up being. It was like a 2-hour afternoon project while the kids played in the yard. It was very simple to tackle.
And like that's something for me when we come home, I'm like, that makes me feel fancier. Like, look at my house with the lights on it, you know? But it was like deceptively cheap and simple. So that kind of fell in that category for me too.
Oh, you know what would be fun to say? One, we'd like some luxury we'd like to add in the future.
Well, we have our swimming pool room.
Exactly. Don't listen to him, guys.
Our water slide. Well, I mean, there was on that list that radiant floor heating.
Oh, yes.
In the bathrooms.
I love that. A heated floor. For those of you who don't know, my favorite temperature is hot car. Literally in the summer when I get in the car and everyone groans, even our children don't like it. I'm like, oh, I love it. Just let me sit here for a second like I'm a lizard. I love being hot. So the idea of a warm heated floor in the bathroom.
And those I don't think are that expensive either. I think even one of the contractors on the Reddit thread, when people were saying like, oh yeah, heated floors, like I've never heard of those things. Someone was like, I'm a contractor. Like I throw those in because it's really not that hard to do. Like when I'm doing a tiling job, that's just like, here's a little bonus.
Yeah, I've heard it's like a mat you roll out. So I would definitely try that. And then we could blog about it. So when we do our bathroom reno, stay tuned for heated floors, unless we hit some terrible snag that makes heated floors impossible. Cliffhanger.
Okay, well, let's leave it at that. The next thing we wanted to do was take a listener call. But since we are recording this before anyone knows that we are doing a podcast, we don't have any calls. So we figured we kind of just like go through our mental file of questions we get asked all the time and start there. And then once we start to actually get some questions, we will make these real answers to calls. So the question we were going to answer today was how our style has evolved across our three houses, because it certainly has. And people are always curious sort of our thoughts on that.
I think in a nutshell, it feels like our first house was us being trying to be grownups, mm-hmm. You know, seeing model homes and being like,
oh, we were like 25.
Right. We're grownups.
Trying to pretend
now.
We were 35.
Everything's tan in model homes. We should probably not, you know, our green and pink and blue rooms are too crazy. Let's go back to tan.
Yeah. It was almost like a reaction to our like college dorms and our first apartments.
Yeah,
we like reeled it in a little bit and like...
Right, reserved. First house was like reserved, safe, a little bit nervous. Second house was like rebellion of reserved, safe, and a little bit nervous. So that was where we were experimenting with like tons of color and crazy bright curtains and just like a bunch of poppy accessories. And I think it was fun and necessary to stretch ourselves in both ways. I think if you err on the side of caution and then you throw caution into the wind, the third house has kind of been an awesome middle point of those two.
Yeah, it's sort of like we found the space between those two.
The groove. Like I still think we love a bright color. We have like colorful rugs. We have a bright, bold front door, but you know, a brick exterior. So it's sort of a mixture of classic and playful and colorful. And I think we also from the first house are taking our love of natural textures like bamboo blinds and white flowy curtains. And they're sort of all mixed up in this house. But somehow it feels like by going both directions and experimenting, we've landed in a place that just feels really good, at least for now.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I don't think we would have landed where we are now had we not gone through the process of the other two places, because I think we had to learn from that.
Right. And when you're in the middle of it, I don't think you really have the same.
You don't know it's not the end point.
Right. You know, hindsight's 20/20. So looking back, we can see, wow, there were moments in the second house where it really looked a little nuts. And there were moments in the first house that looked a little bit like.
Could have used a bit more nuts.
Right. We needed to inject more crazy. But I think, we're still testing things out and switching things around. And that's what makes it fun. You know, just moving a rug from room to room or changing out the art for something brighter or something black and white. It's always sort of a way to get a fresh feeling in a room that you're still letting evolve.
So let's close up with we're digging. So Sherry, what are you digging?
So this is going to sound strange, but I'm going to talk about toilet paper holders, you guys. I've been thinking this has sort of changed my life, but it's too weird to write a post about. So podcast is the perfect forum for me to talk to you about this. Over time, we have changed all three of the toilet paper holders in our house from those spring-loaded holders with two arms to sort of a one-armed open holder. They look like a question mark or the letter L, and they connect to the wall and the toilet paper just slides on and off of them. The reason these are amazing to me is that it is so much easier to change the toilet paper. To me, every time I do it, I marvel. It's one of those, you know, you make a small change and then every time you use or interact with that change, you're like, wow, why didn't I do this sooner? Like, there's a reason I changed all three of them in the house over time to be this type. I just find them super easy. And I don't know, maybe I'm just bad at spring-loaded, but I would shoot that thing all over the place.
It was like near-death experiences.
Seriously, it was like a rocket ship going over my shoulder, that thing. And if you don't get it in right and you pull the toilet paper, it pops off and hits the ground. So I just have been really loving loving
this
light on.
This is clearly a deep trauma for you.
It's a deep passion of mine to get your toilet paper dispenser correct. And I know that some people might not know what I'm talking about, so I was thinking of putting a link in the show notes to one just so you could see it. One thing I have been asked by a few people is, when you're using the toilet paper, does it fly off? I've never had that happen. Have you?
No, I'm not.
So
if I did, I would not say it on this podcast because that would reflect poorly upon me.
So we have not had that issue. Maybe with Vigor, you'd have that problem if you're like really reaching hard and
future
back.
Episode update. John's wearing an eye patch because he had an issue in the restroom.
But it stays on fine. It's easy to change. It's a little easy update.
Well, the thing I'm digging, as exciting as that was, this is an Instagram account that I really enjoy following. It's Matt Crump, MATTCRUMP. He's a photographer who
doesn't know who we are at all.
No. He was actually named Time, I guess, did a list of top 50 Instagram photographers at one point. He was on it. But his whole thing is hashtag candy minimal. And so he does these really cool, very graphic and colorful and bright square images that have a really like pink or orange or yellow sky with a corner of a building or a beach house.
There's some with the top of a, what are those called? People ride on them?
One of those swings, like the carnival swings?
Right. Like I was thinking of a Ferris wheel, but or a carnival swing.
Your hand was saying something different.
But you guys didn't see the joke. Gesture. The way that he captures just the corner of something with a ton of sky is a sort of an interesting use of negative space.
Yeah. So his account and also that hashtag, that Candy Minimal, the Matt Crump account or Candy Minimal hashtag is fun to follow. And I think he also sells prints. So that is it for the first episode.
Thanks for listening to Young House Love Has a Podcast.
If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave us a rating in iTunes. They really make a difference to new podcasts like ours. So please, please, please take a second if you can. We really appreciate it.
You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as @YoungHouseLove.
And remember, you can check out younghouselove.com/podcast for notes, links, and photos from this and other episodes.
Bye.
Later.